This morning, basically, we are going to be taking the opportunity to thank God for who he is, what he has done through the cross and in this series, but also what he is going to continue to be doing. This morning is an opportunity for us to put on the garment of praise and give thanks to God for all that he is and all that he has done. I'm going to say this now, that to put on the garment of praise is an interesting phrase, and I think it's also a powerful phrase, because so often we can come into a place like church on a Sunday and be like, I'm tired and the week was rubbish, or however the week may have been, you know, like kids are crazy, work sucked, like whatever it might be, my boss is breathing down my neck, that kind of thing. But I think that the reason that the Bible commands us to put on the garment of praise is because praise is powerful. And because when we praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for who he is and what he has done for us, chains are broken. And interestingly enough, it says put on. And it's that thing that like I've heard where people say, oh, like, I'm just not there, like, and I just don't want to put it on and, like, fake it. But what does Scripture actually say? Put on. Put it on. Because praise shifts our focus from ourselves to our Savior Jesus, who is victorious. So put it on. It's almost like God is saying, fake it till you make it. Not really. He's not saying that at all, but I thought that was kind of funny. But there is this sense of put on the garment of praise, because it will shift your focus and it will shift your reality to who is truly real and who is truly on the throne and who is truly victorious and who truly loves you. Yeah, it's good. I'm feeling it this morning. So we're going to celebrate Jesus and we're going to give him thanks for all that he is and all that he has done and is going to do. His work is not finished. He is not done with you yet. He is not done with you yet. Ah, it's good. James chapter 1, verse 16 to 18. James chapter 1, verse 16 to 18. I'm reading from the Amplified version for these verses because I just love how it's put in the Amplified. So from verse 16, it says this: do not be misled, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variation, no rising or setting or shadow, cast by his turning. For he is perfect and never changes. It was of his own will that he gave us birth as his children by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, a prime example of what he created to be set apart to himself, sanctified, made holy for his divine purposes. Every good thing and every gift and every perfect gift is from above. And I just love how in verse 17, it paints this picture and it gives us this description of who God is, the fact that in him there is no shadows. That God, because he is light, he doesn't cast shadows. So in his presence, there is no place you can be where like it's possible for like darkness to hide. And I just love it that when it's talking about God's goodness and the gifts that he gives and that they are perfect, it also talks about the one who gives them and says that he is perfect. So as he is perfect, so his gifts are perfect. And just talking about who he is, that his because he is light, he casts no shadow and he does not change. And because that is who he is, the gifts that he gives are very similar to that. That they are perfect when they are used according to how he intended them to be used. But also, they cast no shadow. The gifts in use, and according to the way that they are intended to be used, don't cast a shadow. They don't cause confusion. But they build up others. They bless others. They love others. And so, this morning, we are celebrating our good Heavenly Father, who is perfect, and in him there is no darkness, and he never changes. And because he is constant, we can have a constant hope in him, a constant faith in who he is, a constant strength coming from him, a constant joy found in him. Because he is constant, and we are now in him, our faith can be constant. It can be assured, and we can be confident and enter the presence of God. We can come before his throne in confidence, as it says in Scripture. How powerful is that? How good is that? This is our Jesus. This morning, we also want to acknowledge, though, that this journey can and will look different for each one of us. And that is why doing it in community is so important, so that we can encourage one another, that we can affirm one another, and we can use our gifts to build one another up. That's what we've been talking about this whole series so far. And so we're going to watch a few different videos this morning from different people from within our own family here at CBC to hear what God has been doing in them, the stories that he has given them, the gifts that he has given them, and how they are putting that to use, or they're seeing God grow them in these areas. And this is an exciting opportunity, because yet again, God's gifts are intended to build up. And so even by watching a couple of stories from people from within this family who are using their gifts, we are built up. We're encouraged, because we go, I can identify with that. Oh, wow, that's amazing. God is good. And so even just hearing about God's gifts in use, it encourages us. It builds us up and it helps us to see, maybe it's not all that I'm making it out to be. Maybe it's not as big a mountain as it seems to me. And it breaks it down and it builds us up. And so, without further ado, we're going to watch the first video. And the first video is Alejandra. And this video is actually in Spanish, which I think is amazing, because it is so good to see that God, language is nothing to him. And that even through this series, he has been working in our Spanish-speaking community. In our Spanish-speaking community, when the sermons are preached in English, God is doing a work through his Spirit in Spanish. Come on. This is amazing. And so I just encourage you, we'll watch this video and let's get something out of it.
Mi nombre es Alejandra Moreno. En este último mes aquí en la iglesia hemos estado hablando acerca de los dones espirituales. Yo puedo estar muy agradecida porque yo he sentido como Dios ha hablado en mi vida, porque los dones han cobrado en mi vida sentido ahorita, como que Dios ha hablado en mí a través de la oración y a través de venir aquí a la iglesia, y como que los he descubierto. Uno de mis dones es el don de animar a la gente. Entonces estoy pues muy contenta. ¿Cómo lo pongo en práctica? Yo pongo en práctica los dones, este don pues de animar a la gente, llamando a la gente, orando por ellos, visitando a las personas, testeando. Un ejemplo que les puedo dar es, por ejemplo, mi historia. Yo soy madre soltera, un hijito de 5 años, y yo pues hablo de mi testimonio a mujeres como yo y a mamás también en matrimonios. Y yo, por ejemplo, puedo decir y animar a estas mujeres y animar alas y hablarles de Jesús y cómo Dios me ha salvado, cómo Dios me ha restaurado y animarlas en cualquier situación que ellas estén pasando, ¿no? Porque hay muchas mujeres que se identifican con lo que yo pasé en cierto momento de mi vida. Entonces, yo los animo de verdad a que compartan de sus dones, porque Jesús es el dador de la vida, Jesús es el dador de los dones, y bueno, que a Él sea toda la gloria para siempre, por los siglos de los siglos. Amén.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so good. I loved how Alejandra talked about how she has been able to bring together her story and experiences with the gift of encouragement that God has given her. And that you can't actually, like, so much of how God works is that even though her story is a story of hardship and like tribulation and crazy things going on the other side of it, as God has brought her out of it and drawn her closer to Himself and taught her things, that she's actually been able to not only view, like, see what her gift is in terms of the gift of encouragement and, like, blessing other women through, like, but that she's actually been able to, and this is the amazing thing that God does, is how He can shift our perspective on things, and that she has gotten to a point where she has realized that even though her story is hard, it is a gift. Even though her story is hard, it is a gift. And that, like, you put that together with the gift of encouragement and how she is now able to speak into other women's lives who have, within her own community, been going through similar struggles, and she's been able to point them to Jesus, and they have been built up, and that they have entered into a relationship with Jesus. It's just amazing. It is so amazing, and it is so good. And it reminds me of what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 when he shares a bit of his story. So 1 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 12, and it says this: I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me trustworthy, appointing me to His service. Even though I once was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And I just love how, like, Paul's perspective was shifted as a result of God and His gospel. That who he once viewed himself and how he once viewed himself was changed forever in a moment for all of eternity as to how he now viewed himself and actually was able to see what God was calling him into. And he's like, I once was a violent man and I hated Christians and I killed Christians, but then Jesus met me. My life was changed forever. And now I see the gifts that He has placed in me through His Spirit, and I'm going to use them to build others up and see God's kingdom forever extended. And Paul's story, I love it, but I also see that there is, like, how Alejandra's story mimics that. That God takes what was broken and restores it. He takes what was broken and He restores it. And then He not only restores it, but then empowers us through the gifts of the Spirit to take that story and use it to bless others. God is good, and we are celebrating Him this morning. The next story that we're going to watch this morning is Tina's story. And this one is not in Spanish, so there will not be subtitles. But we're going to watch it, and then we'll wrestle with a couple of points that are brought out from it. So can we have that story, guys?
Hi, I'm Tina. In the past, I've worked in jobs that have required a lot of report writing, kind of technical report writing and editing and that kind of thing. And a couple of months ago, Victoria sent me an email and she said that she had someone's CV, a guy, Eddie, who comes to CBC at times, and would I take a look at that for her? So I said, yep, send it on through. So she sent it on through by email and I took a look at it, read through it, and I just looked at it and thought, wow, there's some really great information here, but, you know, format-wise, it could maybe be improved. So I spent a few hours and just kind of put it into a template, tried to make it look concise, and just bring out that experience that he had and show his strengths, and had a little interview and added in some bits that weren't clear, and just got that together for him, and then he was able to use that to apply for some jobs. Okay, so for me, what I guess really surprised me with doing this little job was that the amount of joy and excitement I got from being able to help Eddie that was kind of out of proportion for what I'd actually done, and just feeling a real connection to the process that he was going through, knowing that for him, using the CV to get a job was more than just a job, it was his means to stay in New Zealand and a whole lot of other things. So it just really felt like I was able to be used by God to make that change in the document, but that it maybe meant a whole lot more than, you know, just a piece of paper. And it was just right about the time we were starting the Gifts series, and it just really made me think about it even more, knowing that, or the way that it was described in this series, that our gifts are not just given to us, but that we are actually given to build up God's church and to help His people and to do God's work. And so it made me really think about this gift as being more than just a ability that I have, you know, with editing or report writing or whatever, but also that it can be used as a spiritual gift to help others. And so it was a real privilege to be able to do that. I think that was the thing. It felt like a real privilege, not a job. So that was really cool. And when I think back about it now, there have been other instances where I've worked on various documents, and it's just been really cool to be able to be part of that and to be able to use that skill to help the church or an individual. And there's just kind of this real connection, which kind of doesn't make sense from just working on a document, that this kind of a God thing. So the other interesting thing, just as I've kind of thought through gifts during this series and this experience with doing the CV and having worked on different documents and things, is that it feels like it's kind of another spiritual gift that's kind of been added to my unique package of gifts. I guess I hadn't really thought of that whole administration side of things necessarily being a spiritual gift. I kind of thought I knew, you know, what God had gifted me with and where my gifts were. And this was just something that I could do as well. But it's been really cool to think that, this is part of the package and part of who I am, and that I'm not limited to where I thought I was gifted. But this is part of my package, so that's pretty cool. Yeah.
So I loved how Tina talked about how she had, for her, this area of expertise and training, that she had this ability that she used in different areas of her life, that she had acquired this skill. And so there was this natural like ability, but there was also like a honing of the skill. But then that there were these situations that she found herself in, that when doing the same thing for others, she experienced, and in her own words, out of proportion sense of fulfillment and joy. How beautiful is that? Like, how good is that? This out of proportion sense of God's goodness and being used by Him. And that though she realized that it was a gift that she had been given by God to bless others with, and that there was a shift from it being merely an ability, like a natural ability, as well as an area of her life that she had been trained in and grown in, but that it had gotten to the point where she had realized that, in fact, the Spirit of God had empowered her to bless others, and that as a result of it, she actually saw she sensed for herself, like, fulfillment, this out-of-proportion fulfillment to what she felt the task was, but at the same time, she also saw fruit in what she was doing. And that's what we talked about last week, that a great way to be able to identify gifts within our own life is the sense of first, like, receiving, like, the sense of fulfillment, because when God gives good gifts, he gives gifts to the people, like, sorry, he gives gifts that work in line with how he made us and who he made us to be. And so there's going to be this sense of fulfillment that comes out of it. But then there's also, like, the qualifier to whether this is just an interest or whether this is a gift is when we see fruit come out of it. And I love how within Tina's story, she not only experienced fulfillment, but there was fruit that came out of it, in which the CV that she was able to help Eddie work on and work with him on it resulted in him acquiring a job. And he was blessed as a result of that, and he was encouraged as a result of that, and so was Tina. And so, again, we just see the gifts of God at work, and these being just really amazing and practical things that we can almost go, well, that's just what I do. But then I think so often we miss the fact that God is like trying to say to us, hey, Dave, you don't get it, though. I have so much more for you in this. If you just acknowledge the fact that through my spirit, I am empowering you to build others up and to change lives. And so I would like to ask the question, what could this look like in our own lives? And the question is this, are there things that you do for others that bring a sense of joy and fulfillment as well as resulting in some form of blessing? Are there things that you do for others that bring a sense of joy and fulfillment as well as resulting in some form of blessing? And so I just throw that question out there because I think that there's people in the room here this morning that are maybe clicking to the fact that that thing they enjoy doing and they actually see resulting in growth and blessing is actually a gift that God has placed in them to build others up. And I think that even if it's just one person in this room this morning, that just kind of clicks to the fact that God has given you a gift in this area, I think that to acknowledge that, to identify that, and then to go and practice it and grow it, you're going to see amazing things happen in your life. And I don't know who you are in this room this morning, but there is a guarantee that when you acknowledge the fact that God has given you a gift, and then you start putting that to practice to build others up, not only will they be blessed, but you will be blessed. It's God's word. It's his promise. He is faithful and he is good. Finally, this morning, we have another story from Anne. And this is our last video story. Again, this one is not in Spanish. And so we're just going to watch it, and then we'll unpack it a little bit. So can we have that?
Hi, I'm Anne, for those of you who don't know. When I first became a Christian, I went to church, brand new Christian, and nobody spoke to me. I went a second time, nobody spoke to me again. Went a third and a fourth time, and still nobody spoke to me. Then the fifth time I thought, well, I need to be the brave one, I need to speak to somebody. So God appointed, I sat next to this lovely older Christian lady who was just the right person to speak to, and she then took me under her wing and introduced me to new people each week. The result of that feeling kind of made me feel like I don't want anyone else to ever have to feel like that. And as part of the body of Christ, it's really important that we have a love for one another and a willingness to be opening and warm and sharing the love that Christ has given to us. So kind of been with me all my Christian life, and for the next 2-3 years after that, I challenged myself to speak to somebody new every Sunday, and it wasn't easy because it wasn't my natural inclination. I'm quite shy generally, but as time progressed, I got to meet some really beautiful people, and God really just grew me and helped me to understand the love for him and for his people. So I left that church and moved to another church where it was totally different and everybody loved me and spoke to me the minute I walked in the door. And it just reminded me what a joy it is when people are using the gifts that God's given to them. So last year when the call was put out for somebody to be responsible for connections at City Bible Church, I was automatically drawn back to that thought of, wow, I don't want anyone to feel like I felt like, and maybe I could do this. So I went away and I prayed about it, and then God brought to my mind Joe as somebody that maybe we could do it together. So I approached Joe, and she said to me that she had also thought she could do it but didn't want to do it on her own. So God put us together, and together we have become the leaders of the connections at City Bible Church. So in talking with Joe, I realised that perhaps I was already doing what I needed to be doing anyway. And in the past, I have done the spiritual gift surveys and, you know, ticked all the boxes. And then it just made me realise that actually I'm already doing what God has asked me to do. And I'm already, didn't need to be ticking the boxes, because my passion was people, and my passion was making people feel welcome, you know, being friendly and kind and thoughtful, and just reaching out to people that perhaps wouldn't always get reached out to. So I think it was scary to start with, because both Joe and I kind of felt a little bit that it was something new to CBC, in a way, not completely, but that was something that we perhaps needed encouragement to do. So for us, it was finding the right people and then being willing to encourage them and help them to be the people God would have them to be, while staying true to ourselves and being who God would have us to be, and using the gifts that He's given to us. Over the last year or so, God's really grown me in this area, and I think that my shyness has disappeared, and that, not completely, but within reason, and that just had more and more opportunities to see other people grow as well, and just be encouraging to them, and using my gift to serve God's people, and then being blessed by watching other people use their gifts as well to build up the body of Christ.
So what I loved about what Anne had to say and what she talked about was how, although she had this rough experience of not feeling welcomed, that actually God got her attention through it, and coupled it with her passion that she had for being hospitable for people and caring for people and making them feel welcomed. And that it was actually not only through her passion, but her experience of, like, the opposite to her passion, that God grabbed her attention and was just like, hey, Anne, I got something for you. Hey, Anne, I got something for you. You know how you hate not feeling welcomed? Well, that's because you're passionate about it. And I'm going to use you to welcome people into this house on Sunday mornings. And the people that walk into your life, I'm going to use you to make them feel welcome, and that they're valuable, and that they are needed in this world. And it's just so amazing, and it just blows my mind as I just, like, view, like, God's goodness and His grace and how He just lavishes it on us as kids. It's just like, it's powerful and it's beautiful, and it needs to be acknowledged for us in our own lives to just, like, take a step back and go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. So this morning, I want to ask, what could this look like in your own life? What could this look like in your own life? And so the question is, are there areas of passion in your life that have been highlighted by personal experiences that make you want to see things changed? Are there areas of passion in your life that have been highlighted by personal experiences that make you want to see things changed? Because I actually think that a part of how God grabs our attention and helps us realize what he has gifted us through his Spirit to things to see his goals accomplished on this earth is that it's actually he highlights it through our personal experiences. He highlights it through our personal experiences when it goes against who we are. When we see something happen that shouldn't happen and we get like, oh, that's not okay. I want things to change. That tension in you, that uncomfortable feeling in that moment is probably God getting your attention. In fact, it got Anne's attention, and I love the words that she used, that she felt God calling her into something. That God felt herself being called by God into something because of the fact that she had experienced something that was not right, and it was against who God had made her to be. And so I want to ask the question, what calling can you hear at the moment in your life? Where is God calling you? What is he calling you into? Because that he doesn't call you into something without empowering you to do it. He doesn't do it. So if he's calling you into something, it means he's gifting you there. And probably, in fact, he already has gifted you in that. And it's just one way that he's getting your attention and saying, I'm calling you into this because I've gifted you with this, because through you, I'm going to change things. Lives are going to be changed forever. Hearts will be healed. Chains will be broken. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. And it's not that we get proud in that, but it's just like this honor and privilege that Jesus uses us because he greatly loves us. So what is God calling you into? What is it? And if you haven't heard lately, don't panic. It's just an awesome opportunity for us to ask God where he's leading us into. It's an opportunity to ask God where he is leading us into. God, what is your calling that you have for me? Where are you leading me? Where are you taking me? Jesus, I want to know. That availability, that's what God looks for. He's looking for that faith that we would come to him and say, Jesus, I want to know how you want to use me. And I'm going to step out in faith into that, knowing that you will never call me into something you have not first empowered me to accomplish. Thank you, Jesus. And so, this morning, as we give thanks to God for what he has been doing in our lives, as we celebrate his goodness, his faithfulness, that he came and died on the cross, and not only did he die on the cross, but he was faithful, and that he rose 3 days later. So not only was like death defeated on the cross, but life was given through his resurrection. And we celebrate that, but we also give thanks and celebrate the fact that God has placed you in this family. You belong. You are here for a reason. Do you know that God had this word for you? Like that God impressed on my heart, like he had things to say to me this week in this area. And he had to get my attention on the callings that he's placed on my life. But equally, he has the exact same message for you. That moment this morning when you heard something, and I don't know what it might have been, like your heart beat a little bit faster, your palms got a bit sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. Sorry about that. Yeah, come on. It's good. Yeah. whatever it may have been in that moment, that is probably God, through his Spirit, getting your attention. If there was, even in your own heart, there was a moment that I spoke something or we read something from his word and you felt an amen to that, that was God getting your attention through his spirit. God had a word for you this morning. What was it? And are we going to pay attention as a whānau, as a family, as a community, as a gathering of saints to what God is calling us into? Are we going to pay attention to what he has for us? And so we're going to take this opportunity to seek God, to seek out his calling on our lives. And we're going to take communion as a part of that, because it's been ages since we've done that. And it's just such a good thing to do, because like this bread, nothing special with it. This grape juice, nothing special with it. But what it symbolizes is the fact that Jesus died for you and was raised to life for you, so that in him you would find liberty and freedom. And so we take it and we thank Jesus for it. These are powerful emblems, like symbols of what of God's great, great love for you. So we're going to take it. We're going to also sing some songs. We're going to put on the garment of praise. Come on. This morning, where is your heart at? Wherever it may be, put on the garment of praise and you will see your perspective changed. And your reality will be shifted in the grace and love of Jesus as you fix your eyes on him, the author and perfecter of your faith. It's really easy to be downcast about my faith when it's on me to make it happen. But I am not the author of my faith, nor am I the perfecter or completer of my faith. That's Jesus' job. So I'm going to set my eyes on him. Give him the praise. Give him the glory. Worship him for what he has done. So let's put on that garment. Let's celebrate and give thanks to him. And we're also just going to take time and have some space in the presence of Jesus and allow the Spirit of God to gently whisper to our hearts what he is calling us into. Alejandra, Anne, and Tina, thank you for being vulnerable. I want to honor you guys and just give you, like, just say thank you so much for sharing your story and encouraging us. Like, it's actually massive. And if, in family, if anything spoke to you, like, from their stories this morning, go and tell them that. Go and build them up. Go and appreciate them, encourage them for being vulnerable enough to share what God has been doing in their life. That's more of the culture that we need in this place. Not just thanking God, but thanking each other. But just as you are, how you are, I invite you to come as an individual and to grab this couplet and bread and take it on your own if you need to. But there are also boards on either side. And if you want to do this as a group, to grab a bunch of friends or even just your family around you and to just thank God for his goodness and also to seek his face and ask God what he has for you next, then encourage you to do that. Just grab one of these boards, chuck a bit of bread. Don't take a whole chunk of it, because then people will come to you for bread. Grab a bit of bread, chuck a few cups in the little holes there, and then pray for one another. Because it was always the intention of God that this would be journeyed in community. It was always God's intention, because he gifted the church. And you are a part of it. Man, God is good. God is good. Meditate on that. Let it change your perspective. Let it shift your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Holy God, we love you. We give you praise and glory. Thank you, God, for the work that you have done in us through this series, as you have spoken to us through your word and moved in us through your spirit. thank you, Jesus, that when you left this earth, you said that one would come, and that that one was the promised Holy Spirit, and that through him we are empowered by the same power that rose Christ from the dead. And that not one thing is impossible for you. Not one thing is impossible for you. And what chains need to be broken this morning, God, you were going to do it through the power of your word and the movement of your spirit. What perspectives need to be changed, God, will be done. Where faith needs to be increased, God, you're going to give it. God, where healing needs to be brought, God, you're going to deal it out, God. And so, God, we just open ourselves to you, that you would just do a work in us. Thank you, Jesus. We give you thanks now for what you are going to do. That you are not distant and you are not disengaged, but you are a God who intimately cares about us. So we put on the garment of praise and we lift your name up high. And in this moment, this space that we're about to have, we just ask that your spirit would be leading us, that you'd be guiding us, that if there are people that you want us to pray for in this time, God, press that on our hearts and give us the courage to go up and say, hey, I just want to pray for you. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thank you, God, for your indescribable gift, grace. For drawing us in. Lord, we need you. We need your touch.